The next speakers we have is the game team that will give us the state of the game. Let's give them a hand.
Thank you. We were supposed to be three people presenting today. One is currently treating a wound, so I will be the first one. And then we'll have Asbjørn announcing the winner of the game jam in the last half. So yes, the token game have now ended. You can still attempt to find some tokens if you want, but you can't win anymore. So we had a lot of different activities. So the two official ones we have are the Hacker Jeopardy and the game team, the token hunt. But we also have a lot of game-related things created by participants. So we have some board games. We had a game jam, which is announced in a bit. A Pendleton, Garden Games, a Mario Kart tournament. Yeah, it sounded like they really had fun in that Mario Kart tournament. I could hear it all the time. We have Music Quiz, Treasure Hunt, and a COAD tournament. So it's very nice to see people enjoying themselves. And we also have the Pixie Flood, of course. So the Hacker Jeopardy. We had a lot of positive constructive feedback. So we had this year done a bit of prep work. I'm not personally the one who does the Hacker Jeopardy, but the team who did it did some really nice work, and it seemed to have paid off. The preparation, they were really going a few months in advance, so it was really nice to see all the emails we got. Yes, and we got nine categories during the camp, which were not ourselves. So one roundup for it is that we need more hacker, network, and cybersecurity related topics. We could see that some participants could need a bit of more network knowledge. But it will also be nice to have some cybersecurity things. We have previously been focused a lot of on software-related stuff, but it's a growing field, and we have a lot of participants working in these fields and interest in them. So, if you have some ideas, you can write it to the email listed here. We would very much like so. You can just write it in this moment or wait a few months, but we very much like the categories because they are really hard to make up. Then we have the token game. So in 23 we had 60 participants. This is really nice. It's actually a few more than in 2021 and 2022. We had 27 unique tokens. It's 10 more than the last time. We did a little more preparation. So I think it's a okay, nice amount. I would personally like to prepare some more tokens ahead of BornHack, but it's really hard to come up with tokens also. So if participants want to make some, you're most definitely welcome and write us an email if you want. So the average tokens found per participant were 4. It's less than 2021. That was you were really playing that year. But it is really nice that people who start playing kept playing a bit more than last year. That's really nice to see. We have 8 participants who found more than 10 tokens. We don't really categorize them, but I would say that's like the players who keep playing and attempting to find as many as they can. And then we have 2 participants who found all 27 tokens. So you can battle it out with whoever gets the prize. But you have to figure that out. So what lessons did we learn this time? We didn't have enough tokens that did not need a computer. So a lot of the tokens require you to have some computing knowledge and also a computer in your hand. It would be nice to have some more tokens that are based on puzzles and color recognition and similar things. It has been heavily dependent on the, like, a token is a string, is a text string. So it's just naturally that's the way we went, that somehow you could get a token out of a piece of string somewhere. But it would be very nice to have some things where you could use pattern recognition also. We would benefit if we prepare more. We are very low maintenance when we are in off events. Most of the content happens actually at the event, and not even during build up. It's just when the event starts. This is when Token Hunt creation starts. We did some small things, and that really helped out. We had the Space Invader, for example, which already included a token before it was set up. So, yeah, we have received a lot of nice input. We would like to also make tokens more accessible for players. So this is a thing that we need to work on. It's again the thing with the computers. Not everybody is that good with computers necessarily, or may not be studying a computer science degree at a university and doing math all the time. So again, it's like we keep enjoying this, but magic just happens when other teams and other participants just say, hey, I would like to make this token, can I make this token? Then we say, yes, most definitely. So it's really nice when the batch team or this year, the phone operations center really like just said, yeah, I would like to make this thing, can I make this thing? Yeah, and that came some really nice things out of it. So I can show some more details on it. We have the batch token. I'm not the one who created this. I'm a bit unsure about the details on them, but let's get to it. So on the batch, there is some letters you can read. Well, this whole grid refers to a token. So it is base 32 encoded, and you can, if you decode it, you can get Frank Miller 18. And the year. So you can, let's see how many we have. If you have here, yes, a lot of things. So that's a lot of references to this one-time pad of the paper from Frank Miller, and I guess you had to go in and read it. Or similar to start finding the tokens, but yes, that was most definitely tokens on the batch again this year. Maybe we will have it again. So the batch had NFC, right? I didn't make these slides, unfortunately, so I'm not sure what all these numbers mean. But someone says hack the planet, and you could convert it to the token in the end. I'm sorry, I don't know what the end result gives. Maybe a participant could explain. And then we have this one. It's also a bit of evil that this badge gives you access to the data needed to gain SSX access to a VM that contains some data that contains more tokens. I have no idea what this means. it's unfortunately Dennis who knows what all these numbers means. You can find him after this talk if you want and get some explanation. But I cannot. we also had some DEX phone numbers you can call. You can call the number call that corresponds to token game, and it will read out some loud some nice letters to you in phonetic alphabet. You probably have to record it or call it at least 3 times or 4 times to get the whole thing, but that's a token there. You can also call the number token, and you will get a conversation from the movie Hackers, where Crash Overwrite, the main character, requests a number from a person, and if you call that number, then you activate an ohm light, where you can then read the numbers. That's also get Lisa's numbers, and that's also one of the numbers mentioned in the movie, of the phone numbers, so you can get a little hint. Thank you to Phone Operations Center, because that little piece of evil was actually very nice. I really loved calling in and like testing different things. Of course, that's conversion. I guess that says token, and that says Lisa, and that says token hunt, or similar. Apparently, there was some audio. Sorry about that. I also made some artwork together with Bart, and it didn't start as a token, but it's we made some artwork, and I thought, why not include a token? This would be fun. So that's a small thing that says Space Invader 1978. If you mix those letters around, you will get a token. Very easy, but you have to spot it. Credits to the nice person who took this picture, because I'm not that good at taking images. We also have a token in the sticker exchange. Maybe you can see the QR code. So there were two boxes of stickers in the sticker exchange at the info desk, and you just scanned both of them. One of the hint is RT or what in the sticker exchange. So that was the hint. And the QR code, one of the QR codes, have some letters, and then it said +4 or -4. The other one did the same. So you could do a rotation, +4, rotation -4, and put them together. I accidentally made one of them a little too long, so it had 33 characters, but yeah. Small correction was that you just remove the last letter of the token, but yeah. So this was the token hunt. Do we have any questions about some tokens? Maybe I can answer some. Yes. Oh. And this was definitely not all tokens. It was just a few select.
So I saw that one of the tokens is the sequence of lights down the main path. Is that right?
I think so, yes.
I couldn't figure out any combination of lights that would make up 30 and make sense. Also, one of them is white.
No. Maybe the participant over here can answer the question.
So I guess the question is, how are you supposed to do that one?
Pass the microphone to the person.
Så alle. Ja.
So the white one is actually blue, and you can see the paper or the film if you look. And there's two towards the cabin. Those count. The first one here towards the bar doesn't count, and the two towards the food area doesn't count either.
All right. Right, but
How can people sign up or help out with the game team? You didn't really specify.
Well, you can sign up on the Bornhack website for the game team and then drop us an email and say, hey, I would very much like to be part of the token hunt. Right now it's me and Dennis who are making the token hunts, but having a extra person or two extra people being the what is the English word for this? But being the caretakers of the tokens would be very nice. It would allow us to have more minds on it. So yes, go to the Bornhack website really and sign up.
If I can ask, there was a hex in the slides between the presentations. It looked like it was a valid token, but was it?
Which one, sorry?
There was a hex value in the slides between the presentations.
Yes.
So it was valid.
Yes. That was a hex-encoded token in the InfoBeamer, yes.
Yeah, but I couldn't figure out how to get, I mean, I decoded it, but I couldn't get to a valid token, but yeah.
So there's a very nice website called CyberChef.
Yes.
If you search on that.
I used it.
Okay. if you type it in correctly, hopefully you should get the token. There was not that much else in that token than finding it and typing it and then converting it over.
Yeah, I've done that, but maybe you can show me later.
Yes. But I also make mistakes sometimes. It could be I also made some mistake. But try again and then ask me if it didn't work. So. All right. And then I'll hop further to the next thing. We have the winner. Apparently it's with. Oh, sorry. Beyond the end of the talk. Sorry about that. I had a change in the last second since I didn't look at the. Yeah, sorry. We have the Pixel Flute. This is a graph. It's also showed up in the NUC, State of the Network talk. This is a monstrosity made by Asprion. It has an 80 gigabits bridge. Well, I can explain a bit more about it. But we had some participants pulling their own fibers. We had Asprion himself making a pixel accelerator. Takes a 10 megabit NIC, like an old Bornhack batch, and then do loop magic and apparently turns it up to 10 gigabits. I don't know, like something with 15 kilometers of fiber. It took a few days to get this up and running, but it seems like people were enjoying themselves. So I hope this can keep showing up and more people would like to participate. We have a little graph here. You can see it started. The graph at least started Sunday. I can hop over to this and say, the peak at the 95% percentile was at 31 gigabits per second. The switch is limited to 80 gigabits, so if we get to near that, I guess we will get a larger switch or something. But we averaged, I cannot say that word. Our average was 21 gigabits per second, and the peak it is like a weird thing to count, but at 43. We had some new protocols, and I misspelled that apparently. New protocols implemented. You can find it on the link. It's the same link that hopefully all players saw. Again, this year we had multiple 10 gigabit clients. Yes, the pixel accelerator thing was created. We streamed some movies on it. Well, not me, but Max streamed some movies on it. Labifer Village pulls their own fiber and put in some QSFP plus optics. They were, however, limited to 10 gigabits per machine, so it's just not. So it's not like bring the largest machine you can and the largest NIC, because then I could just find a 100 gigabit NIC and put it in if the switch couldn't take it. So all clients are limited to 10 gigabit, and we were as well. But we just could sit in our comfy comfy tents instead of going all the way out and install a machine. Legacy IP addresses were again punished this year. You had to use IPv6, or else you will get some transparency on your on your pixels. You can see the little pony, perhaps. That was because I didn't update my client and could not find the V6 version I made somewhere. So yeah, it was transparent. I just send enough pixels that it is still visible. That was also a participant who attempted to create a distributed pixel through client. The goal was to play Doom on it, like with one controller and then multiple machines with like multiple small machines and stuff. The distributed version or distribution thing worked, but not playing Doom. Maybe that will work next time. So yes, I guess we can go to the game jam, and I will attempt to remember to announce the winners of the token hunt.
Chucky. Jan Ponamute li pali ilu musi. Oh wait, I have to do this talk in English, yes. Right? Then you understand. Okay. We did the first ever Born Hack Game Jam, and it was a great success. Thank you for everybody who played. If you have your laptop out right now, you can go to pyjam.as/gamejam and see all the submissions. We had 8 very beautiful games made by, I think, something like 15 nice hackers. All of the games had to fit the theme Switch, which was announced last Friday at 1800, and then we had 3 days to complete the game. The deadline was yesterday at 1800. Since there's 8 games, I just want to show you all of them, because I couldn't help myself. This one, Killswitch by Val, is really cool. It was made by a child, I think the first time they ever made a game. It's a switch. There's also like some Nintendo switches, and there's some networking switches, and there's a light switch, and you have to press one of 3 buttons and try and kill the prisoner instead of the cops. But it's very cool. It plays in the web browser and has a leaderboard. Moral Switch is gamifying the trolley problem. Norska made a game which you're given a moral dilemma, and you have to choose who you want to kill. The text was generated, I think, using a large language model and also images that were being made on the fly, so it would make at runtime new scenarios. That's quite cool. Somebody made a game called Pass(2). I think they uploaded under the same name twice. but this was Aspen 1, Mast, Nielsen, Philip. This is a game which had several different backend implementations. So every time you die, you switch to a different backend, which had its own complete different state and different rules for the game. I think there was backend written in like Haskell and Go and Rust, right? So that's kind of crazy. So there's several different games. There's one which is like a pixel art drawing game, and this is a snake game. This one turns out to be a lot of fun because there's an HTML injection in the username field. So you can just change the game on the fly. Yeah, this website was looking really crazy last night because of the HTML injection. That was cool. Dowser made a game called Save the Network, which is about defending a network switch. You have these all of these different ports. Some of them, they turn red while they're being hacked. So you have to be quick and click it, so it's kind of like a whack-a-mole game. This is super difficult, but it has nice audio and stuff also. Another cool game. Designuda Nicholas made a game called Shield Switch, in which it's sort of like an asteroids type game, where there's different types of asteroids. It's difficult to see right now, but these are like the red ones. And then you switch between being in the red state or the blue state, so you can pass phase through different kinds of asteroids, depending what color it is. That's quite cool. Nicholas, who made this game, also composed an original soundtrack for this game. And just because he had more time and wanted to, he also made an original soundtrack for this game. So that's super cool. This Sliding Snake is a terminal-based game in which you control a snake and you try and avoid these lines of trees. I think this was originally made to run on a receipt printer. That's great. This was my game. It's like a physics-based game where you're the snake inside of your network switch, because you know the snake inside the network switch, right? You pick up packets and you try and drop them in the right place, and you try not to, to switch the packets wrong. Samuel made a game called Switch Off the Music. This is a mobile phone game, which is GPS-based, right? So the plot is that you're it's late and all the hackers are making a lot of noise, and you have to go and find the parties and then tell them to turn off the music. This game will get your heart rate up, like you're sprinting around the field and trying to turn off the music before you lose your patience. That's a lot of fun. All right, so those were the games. We had a rating system, so it works like this. Anybody who submitted a game could rate the other games. And we had a little bit less than 24 hours to play and rate all of them. These are the categories. There's an overall score that determines the winner of the game jam totally. And then these are the aspects of creativity and aesthetics, how well it fit the theme of Switch, and how fun the gameplay was. So let's do the winner's announcement for each of these categories. The aesthetic winner is Mortal Switch. The creativity winner is, I'm sure you're not surprised about this, Switch Off the Music. The gameplay winner is Shield Switch. And the theme winner is Moral Switch, again. All right, can I have a drum roll for the total winner? The winner of the Born Hack Game Jam 2023 is Shield Switch. But really, so much thanks to everybody who played. It's been a lot of fun making games with you, and we're definitely going to do this again next year. So there's a theme for the Game Jam, which was Switch this year. I'd really like to hear suggestions for a theme for next year. The game jam Ludodare does this thing of like submitting a bunch of different themes and then we vote about it. I think we should do that next year. So send an email to the game team or send a message to me or just come find me if you have a good idea for a theme. Also, I want to make it so that I don't know the theme in advance because that would be more fun for me. Yeah, but that's it for game jam. Thanks for playing.
As you can see, he's a bit more energetic than I am. Yes, now the token hunt winner is. you have to play Rock, Paper, Scissor, but it's Emilia and Sebastian. You can decide amongst yourself, or do you want to play Rock, Paper, Scissor?
Last token
first. Okay. I guess that we can fight for a year about that one. So, yes, thank you so much for visiting this talk. See you next year.
Are there any questions? Thank you for the great state of the game. Let's give him a round of applause.